It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Time for the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Volunteer Auto Group, where we are this afternoon doing the thing live. We send it back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, standing by with today's Top 4 at 4. Tucker Harlan, take it away.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee baseball has a 3-game series this weekend against LSU in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. First pitch tonight is at 7:30, tomorrow at 5, and Sunday at 3. Chris Stamos, Drew Beam, and Xander Sechrist will start for the Vols in that order, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Chris Stamos getting the ball tonight for the Big Orange in front of a sold-out Lindsey Nelson Stadium crowd. Over $100 to get in the door. Bear had an offer to go.
I've got two standing room only tickets.
But you're not going?
No.
Unbelievable.
I may have to give them away. I don't want them to go to waste.
Should we give them away on air?
Why don't we?
All right, let's come up with a trivia question or something to give away the tickets Bear refuses to use. We'll do that around Logan's appearance
something
when we talk.
It's not like I'm giving up like seats up there with the beautiful people like
you're
you
giving
are.
You're giving away a pair of tickets to get it. I mean, there's only like 5,600 of these bad boys. You don't think people be lining up out here to get those, get their hands on those?
Yeah, that's why I'm going to give them away.
All right.
At number two, the list of visitors from the transfer portal in basketball has increased this weekend for the Vols. Igor Milicic Jr. from Charlotte and Cade Tyson from Belmont will both be taking visits this weekend, along with Darlin Stone-Dubar.
I mean, let's go ahead and sign them all three up, man. I mean, we need the size, we need the scoring. We come back and reconvene on Monday with Darlin Stone-Dubar, Cade Tyson, and Igor Milicic Jr. committed to Tennessee. I'll be feeling pretty good about basketball next year.
Says here he shot 38% from three.
A big man who can step out and stroke it a little bit. Okay.
Will he be allowed to? I don't know. But in the meantime, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, that might be your 1-2 punch with him and Estrella. I know there's a lot of chatter about Awaka coming back, and I guess I would be all for that. But rim protection, man. The 6'10 guys who can shoot it a little bit don't grow on trees.
Did we play them this year?
Charlotte?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I checked.
It was the year before last.
At number three, the Kentucky coaching search has ended as Mark Pope has been named the new head coach in Lexington. Pope played two seasons at Kentucky from 1994 to 1996. And amassed a 187-108 record as a head coach in stints at Utah Valley and BYU over the last decade.
You watch it over there, Tucker, with your poop mouth. The poop. All this poop.
Very poopy.
Poopy.
Spent a lot of time in Utah, huh? He's originally from Omaha and went to Washington for 2 years. And then he came back to Kentucky. He was a part of their 96 national championship or the 98? He's one of those.
96.
He was on the 96 national title team. And then I guess he's Mormon.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Utah, or I don't know if he went back to Utah. He went to Utah.
He played for a long time in the NBA. He actually went to medical school for 3 years at Columbia.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
And then he quit.
Decided that wasn't for him?
Yeah, after like year three to take a job. Can't remember where. It was this coaching.
Well.
Where was that at?
He's
Virginia.
In coaching now. He's in the big time at Kentucky. We'll see how it goes.
And finally, at number four, quick update on the Masters. Bryson DeChambeau still in the lead at 7-under. He's even on the day through 12 holes. Tied at second right now. They're both at 6-under par. Max Homa and Scottie Scheffler. And Scheffler is through 6 holes today. Scrolling down here, tied for fourth. Nikolai, I may butcher this, Højgaard is at 4 under, and he is tied with Danny Willett at 4 under as well. Colin Morikawa not too far behind at 3 under par. Tiger Woods sits at 1 over par currently.
Do we have a projected cut?
+4, 4 over par. It was when I was coming in.
Yep,
here,
still
about,
4 over par.
About 3 o'clock.
So Tiger's in good shape to keep the cut streak intact if he can hold it together here on the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, real quick, he was on Mark Fox's staff at Georgia. He's director of basketball ops, 2009-2010. That's how he got, yeah. And then he went to Wake Forest after that. But
you know, he soaked up all that knowledge of winning from Mark Fox at Georgia.
Foxy Fox.
That should pay dividends.
He left medical school before year four to go join Mark Fox's staff at Georgia in basketball. Hell of a career move.
Well, he probably is making more money now than he would have as a doctor. So.
Oh, yeah. But probably not until within the past 24 hours.
All right, good stuff, Tucker. Thank you. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Volunteer Auto Group, where we are this afternoon. North Knoxville, 1501 Callahan Drive. I've got Smokey's tickets for giveaway. If you stop by at Volunteer Auto today here on Callahan Drive, step in the showroom. You'll see me and Bear sitting right here next to the Y12 display. And just say you're listening to Fan Run Radio. I will hook you up with 4 field-level seat vouchers. These are good for any Smokies home game this year. All you got to do is stop by Volunteer Auto Group. Let us know you're listening to The Drive this afternoon as we do the thing. And get ready to be visited by the Cookie Man, Logan Quinton, coming up here in just a little bit. Let's go back to the busy, busy phone lines and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
How's it, Doctor?
What's up, Philly?
How you the boys doing?
Hey, doing well, thank you.
It is a beautiful day in Big Orange Country. Below Big Blue. Down the toilet and down the hole. How about that?
Yeah, I mean they're buying in right now. You heard TJ, he's bought in. He says he's all in with Mark Pope.
Well, they might be all in now. Give them a year or two and sit there all in then. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to give them some time to build a program.
They got their Jeremy Pruitt, Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, and Buzz Peterson. They got what they deserve out there.
You got to give them some time.
They go to all the hell. That's what they deserve.
Rome wasn't built in a day. You're bringing the Pope in, and Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes some time. You got to instill discipline. You got to change the culture. You got to bring in some players. You got to get them developed, man. I mean, I think if you're Kentucky, you have to be prepared. This could be a 6 or 7 year process, as Butch Jones would say, and you have to be prepared for that. You have to have patience.
Yeah, just like we've had for all these damn years, right? It's Kentucky basketball. Look at it now. Who'd ever thought? Of course, I never thought Tennessee football would look so damn bad, and Kentucky's just doing the same page we did.
I'm just surprised, Phil, that they rushed it through. I mean, the job officially opened, what, Monday? Was it Sunday night that the – it was Monday night that the Cal to Arkansas stuff broke just suddenly. And then – or was it Sunday night? I don't know. But, it's the same week. Like these athletics directors, if the search gets past a day or two and one guy tells them no, they panic and just immediately give it to the one guy they know will say yes. I mean, just take a step back, relax, take a deep breath, reassess. Kentucky, you'll find somebody to take your job. Mark Pope would have taken that job next week, the week after, the month after.
Yeah.
But he just panicked, man, after his pie-in-the-sky candidates told him no, and he just went straight to the bottom of the list.
Well, I think, though, that Reed Shepard's dad, Jeff Shepard, was instrumental in getting Pope there. They were teammates on that Kentucky National Championship team. And I would say that you're going to see Reed Shepard play one more year at Kentucky. And then Travis Perry, the number one player in the state of Kentucky this year, is going to stay. Of course, the rest of them are gone with Cal. They'll be at Arkansas next year. So it'd be interesting to see what they do, trying to fill the roster out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to be terrible.
No.
Necessarily. And if you get Reed Shepherd back, then, I mean, obviously that's a pretty good starting point. But
people are starting to say up there that he's going to the draft. I mean, Matt Jones. I mean, he's projected as a lottery pick.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy for him to come back.
Yeah,
you'd have to really
million,
like
he
your
made
dad,
$3 million playing at Kentucky last year.
Do what?
He made $3 million playing at Kentucky last year.
Yeah, I think I'll have to give him a raise because he's a lottery pick this year.
Well, he might be, but I mean, there's that big Blue Nation. You know how they are. But what's going on? I heard Tucker talking about this guy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Is he any good, this big guy?
I mean,
Igor?
He sounds like pretty good numbers. 6'10", average 12.8. We'll go and give him 13 points a game, 8.5 rebounds, 1.7 assists, while he shot 49% from the field, including 38% from three-point range. So,
well, he shoots threes, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an intriguing player. And, you know, Charlotte, we've got the ties there with Barnes and Ganey. So I like all three of the – I would sign all three of these guys. I think Tyson is going to be the hard one. It sounds like North Carolina might be hard to beat for him. But, man, this would be a great start if they could land all three of these guys.
Well, we got a chance for Tyson. I mean, he is visiting here.
Yeah.
And look what North Carolina's got. Their logjam of players, especially if R.J. Davis and the other kid that's the three-man in North Carolina, if he comes back, the transfer from Stanford, who Tennessee recruited several years ago. I can't think of his name.
Harrison Ingram.
Yeah. They all come back. Why would Tyson want to go there and sit on the bench and come here and start?
Yeah, and I think if you're Tennessee, you sell them on just, hey, man, you're the same size as Connect. Look at what we did with him. He had very similar numbers to you, very similar size, very similar school that he was at last year, and he came in here and worked his rear end off, and now he's getting set to be a lottery pick. You can follow the same blueprint. It's all right there for you.
So the – Orange and White game tomorrow, what is it, 1 o'clock, and it's on the SEC Plus? Is what it's on?
I believe so, yes.
Huh. So we're not going to do like Alabama, have it on really, really regular TV, right?
No, I mean, I understand that if you're the SEC network, there's probably more of a curiosity factor with DeBoer and Alabama. But I just think it gets back to – With Heupel, he loves operating in the shadows. He doesn't want the spotlight on his practices, on his press conferences. It's no-nonsense Josh Heupel. And if he wanted to, I mean, we've got Nico and all this stuff. Like, you could push. He could be out there doing crazy stuff. He could be on Feinbaum. He could do whatever he wanted to draw attention to it. And he's not doing that. And, like, to me, that's just who he is. That's fine. As long as the results on the field are explosive, I don't really care if the stuff that happens away from it is not.
Well, I do think Tennessee fan base deserves better than having just 10,000 over there watching it. You can't tell me that they can't get more people in that damn stadium than that to watch the spring practice game.
I don't know. I was with you on that, Phil, until I saw pictures online. I think it was last night of what it looks like in there right now as far as where the construction's at. And, like, there's huge swaths of the stadium right now that if you take one step in the wrong direction, you're going to die.
Well, that doesn't sound good. Yeah.
I mean, they've completely – there's nowhere to – there's the concourses are ripped out, I think, in the
– the whole south end zone is pretty much inaccessible.
Yeah, that's open. And I think they're doing some – I don't know if it's repair work or what in the north end, so –
Well, hope I get it all straight, but this is year four of Heupel. Show me something special. We haven't done anything yet. See you.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Phil's getting demanding all of a sudden.
Oh, boy.
All right.
He's turned his attention to Heupel.
Fire up the hot board.
Jeez. Philly.
Let's take a quick timeout. The Cookie Man is here. Logan Quinton is here with the Crumble Cookies, and we will talk Tennessee baseball with him when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, Knoxville's home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Quentin is here, everybody. Hello, Logan.
How's it going, fellas?
It's going well. Glad you brought the sunshine with you. I mean, the cookies are nice, but I was starting to worry a bit. I mean, it was pouring here about an hour ago.
Yeah, the weather the past 2 days has been crazy, and I thought we were going to be in the clear tonight. I mean, the game by game time will be good. It'll just be chilly. But I swear I looked at the weather map this morning. I thought this evening would be clear. I don't know what changed, but yeah. Most importantly, by game time, by first pitch, this rain should be out of here.
Do you think Vol Nation is as fired up as when the schedule came out last year and we all looked at the home series and, ooh, what are going to be the series where everybody is wanting to – and this is the one we all circled immediately. Yeah. Defending national champion, LSU coming to town. And part of me – I'm excited. I'm going to be there tonight. Bears not. But I'm going to be –
What the hell, Russ? I mean, it's.
I'm
going
to be there. You declined. you declined to go.
I couldn't.
You can't stand.
I can't stand for 3.5 hours. No.
what is this? I mean,
I don't know. I've been. He's been whining all week long.
I haven't been whining
about wanting to go. He's never been to a baseball game in the Vitello era. He wants to go so badly, and then somebody gives him a pair of tickets. Somebody gives him a pair of tickets, and they're
standing room only.
Bear,
I can't use it. How many times do I have to? Don't come in here, trying to. I'm giving the tickets away.
I can't stand.
And you're going to come in here and be like, you know, everybody else does, and you'll do the little dance for Russell, same way Tucker does, same way Houston's starting to do it a little bit, same way Marcus Young.
Everybody's
did,
against Bear.
Rick Butler. Jake Miller.
Okay, you can't just name everybody that you know right now.
We have paranoia.
It's all the thirds that have been on with the drive, and then somebody sits in that chair and they start sucking up to you, and you've screwed me over on baseball tickets, Russ.
Look, I've screwed you over.
I may have sympathy for you, if not for the fact that myself and a former Fan Run employee last summer at the Super Regional, at the Clemson Regional, stood for 14 innings.
14 innings, Bear. 14 innings.
It was that drunken buffoon, Charlie, right?
You guessed correctly.
And Benedict Charnold.
You guys are about what? 25 years at least younger than me. Got some issues.
You got some issues. You know what you got? You got excuses. Logan, let's talk baseball, man. We're talking about, go on and get. Go on and get, man. Take your ball and go home. We don't need you.
There he goes.
We don't need you. All right, he's done.
Him in that dirty Yankees hat. Good grief.
As I was saying, this is the series we had all circled and everything. I feel like there's a lot going on, though, with basketball particularly, even the Kentucky hire. You got the orange and white game. Do you think that this series, is it going to be a situation tonight, Logan? Are we going to have that magic, as Tony calls it, a hornet's nest vibe in Lindsey Nelson tonight?
I don't know about tonight because of the weather. And, you know, judging by the ticket prices, I mean, we were starting off in the triple digits earlier in the week for tonight. Now we're down. I mean, you can get in for like 20, 30 bucks. So with the weather and everything, I don't quite know about tonight. But tomorrow night, Sunday, absolutely. So the better part of this series, yes. I'm anxious to see what comes out tonight, being that it's not going to be warm and fuzzy with the weather. It's going to be a little chilly. It's very windy, but like Tony V says, you got to make it nasty. You got to come prepared no matter the weather. If you have to stand for 14 innings, unlike Bear is willing to, you know, you got to be able to give it your all. So I'm anxious to. I feel like everybody's gearing up for tomorrow because of how festive tomorrow is going to be with They have like little concerts on the. I know attendance is limited at what, 10,000 for the spring game.
But there's like an in between thing.
Yeah, so I wonder if everybody maybe checks out on, not everybody, but a good portion checks out on tonight. Gets
well, it'll be full, won't it?
Yeah, I think it'll be full.
It'll be full. Yeah, it'll be full. Okay. Well, hopefully, and then tomorrow night you've got. It's weird, you know, the whole Friday night starter thing, usually throw your ace on Friday night, and both of the aces will be going tomorrow night.
Yeah.
At 5:30, Luke Holman, who we wanted desperately.
Yeah.
In the transfer portal, transfer from Alabama, came here. I remember at one point I think we thought we were going to get him.
Yeah.
And then LSU kind of snaked him from us at the last minute. Oh, I mean, how different would the conversation around Tennessee baseball be if we had gotten Luke Holman?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's a hole you're missing right now, is two solidified starters. You thought you might have been getting that going back a couple of weeks ago. AJ Causey was looking good. You know what you can get out of Drew Beam. But now Causey, you know, giving up 15 runs in the last two starts and only four innings combined. So they're going a different route, going with Chris Stamos tonight. I like the move. And as it pertains to Holman, I was surprised that LSU decided to go with him on Saturday, considering it's going to be two extra days rest for him.
Because he pitched on a Thursday game against Vandy last week.
They've played two Thursday through Saturday series in a row. So he's going to have 2 days extra rest. If he started, I would think, as desperate as LSU is, they're 3-9 in the conference. I would think you would want your lead horse to go out there on a Friday night, not expecting Beam to be out there, and the struggles that Tennessee has had. I'm surprised by that move. But they're going to have a ton of leverage if they pull this one off tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Chris Stamos gets the call. Now, this is your guy. You have been beating the Stamos drum since before the season. You've wanted him to start. And now he gets his chance under the big spotlight with the defending national champions in town.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of Cali kids going at it. Gage Jump for LSU. These two probably grew up not very far apart from each other.
Mm.
Gage Jump was at UCLA, began his college career there. Chris Stamos began his college career at California. Now they're both in the SEC trying to find their role with their respective teams. But Stamos is a veteran college player. He's played at this D1 level for a long time, now with the Vols. And you look down, he's only got 13 innings this season. He needs more. And he provides a veteran type of presence in the clubhouse and on this pitching group. And, yeah, he normally fits the mold of like an innings eater or a guy that can kind of get you over in the middle of a game, you know, a bridge guy, as they say. But he's totally capable of starting. And I mean, looking back at his that January period, that ramping up process, I saw him throw a couple of times and he looked really good. I think people may underestimate him. He's been amazing against right-handers in small sample this year.
That's strange.
Yes. It's small sample.
Right-handers are, Bear said something like 0-13?
That's more than that. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean,
okay, is LSU right-handed heavy?
Well, the big boppers, Jared Jones and Tommy White, those are their the big boppers are righties, and you know, it's the thing with LSU, they no longer have obviously Dylan Cruz is kind of a not a unicorn, but he's kind of almost that category of a generational talent and prospect. Trey Morgan was with them for years, and I mean, it's a wonder he did not go pro sooner. Those two were on this team last year, and I think they're missing them tremendously. It's still a good offense, a dangerous offense, but it's a long cry from what they had last year.
Interesting. Logan Quinton with us. His appearance brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Crumble Cookies. We'll tell you about what they've got cooking coming up here in just a little bit. But as we delve in to the matchups here, you talked about the lineup for LSU, not quite what it was. This is the defending national champion. Remember, we played them in Omaha last year. Pretty epic series down there as well, where they beat us twice. Tennessee got him back in that stole a game from him in the third game. We'll see what happens this weekend, but this is a lineup that is not what it was last year for LSU, and it's a pitching staff that's not what it was last year. Paul Skeens ain't walking out to that mound tonight, and it's a Tennessee offense that has been launching the ball, tied for the nation lead in home runs with Georgia. Do you think it will be a launching pad this weekend at Lindsey Nelson?
Yeah, I think especially the next two games. I don't know about tonight. The wind is kind of seems like it's multi-directional, and it's pretty crazy. So I'll have to wait to get down there to see how the wind plays tonight. But Saturday, Sunday, yeah, I think so. But yeah, you mentioned it. It's not quite the pitching on the front end for LSU that they had last year, but they've got dudes. They have guys. It's just they're kind of – that pitching group for LSU is a lot like Tennessee right now, trying to see if a guy or two can emerge. Justin Lohr is a guy, a lefty. They've got lefties. You mentioned Holman being a guy in the transfer portal that Tennessee would have loved to have had. Justin Lohr was in that mix as well. He's the guy from Xavier. I don't know if you remember the talk about him. Ended up going to LSU like Holman. He needs some run for LSU. They've got Nick Ackenhausen, who was with that group last year. They don't have Riley Cooper anymore. That seemed to be the Vols' kryptonite.
Oh, that guy. hated that guy.
So he's no longer there. Maybe that's good news. But, yeah, it's outside of Holman, Gage Jump is clearly their number two guy, pitching really well for him this year. But outside of that, whether it's Ackenhausen, Griffin Herring is a solid piece that they can rely on out of the pen. They've got a nice balance of lefties and righties in the pen, and also veteran talent and young talent. It's just a matter of it working and coming together. They need a guy or two to emerge, just like Tennessee does.
Very exciting. Very exciting series this weekend at Lindsey Nelson with LSU in town. Logan, what else about Tennessee baseball has captured your interest of late?
You know, one curious thing is Ariel Antigua. I thought by now the bat would come around. I think he's just pressing. Like, and I think Tony mentioned that maybe a few games back. You know, he didn't call him out by name, but just talking about how guys, when they're struggling at the plate, you know, some guys have a tendency to talk to other people or other resources or change a bunch of things. And, yeah, you know, he just doesn't want guys to reinvent the wheel. He just wants them to kind of focus on that mental approach and just play ball.
See ball, hit
so,
ball.
So I think that's because I've told you guys, that's what carried Antigua into a draft stock conversation out of high school was the hit tool. And we've seen the defense. We've seen the glove. It's there. So that's curious to me. But also,
sounds like Amick probably not quite ready yet, not going to rush him. So are we thinking Bargo at third and Curley at short?
I think so, especially with the way Bargo's playing. He really seems like a gamer, right? I don't know if he's ever going to have, like, stats that blow you away, anything like that. I mean, they're really good stats, but compared to these other guys, you know, Kavaris Tears and Blake Burke and everything. But he seems like a gamer. Tony has mentioned how he has rolled out to the outfield to play a corner outfield spot without even, like, the coaching staff pressing him to do it, taking initiative. Now he's playing third in Amick's absence. I think so. It's a little bit of a different scenario. Speaking of Bargo, you know, a couple weeks ago going into that weekend, Tony was saying, hey, Bargo's going to be available, but we're not going to have him run around, maybe to hit if absolutely necessary. Kind of the same message he has this week for Amick. Bargo ended up playing third that Sunday and running the bases and everything. But it was a little bit of different. I mean, a hamstring and having your appendix removed, a little bit different scenario. But I just don't see a scenario where they're pressed to put Amick in. But I wouldn't be shocked.
Do you think – I asked the boys this earlier – do we think Cal Stark is the catcher for this team, or are they going to continue to split? I mean, he got, you know, two starts last week, or did he get all three? He had at least two.
He would have. He had the Friday nights, Peebles had the Friday night start, if I remember correctly.
You sure?
Because that was Causey.
Tucker, jump in here. I thought Stark started all three games against Auburn. Am I misremembering? Tucker may have stepped away from the
But either way, I mean, that's a good question because you don't have Kazi going tonight starting. So, yeah, I kind of expect that tonight. Certainly tomorrow with Beam.
Well, and it was kind of frustrating as a casual fan who doesn't have access to all the information. We brought in Cannon Peebles. He's this star guy from NC State, and I'm expecting him to take over. All right, he has a little bit of a slow start, but to me it's just like, keep him in there, keep him in the lineup. He'll come around. And Stark struggled at the plate last year. After last weekend, I'm kind of just like, okay, you know, Vitello, he knows what he's doing out there. And Cal Stark is, you know, in addition to having those leadership qualities that Tony is always raving about, his ability to call a game, catch a game, command a game from behind plate, defensively, all that stuff. Now all of a sudden he's swinging the big stick, and the stats don't lie. He's had a better offensive season than Peebles.
Yeah, his body language and his presence is contagious. Like you can feel it covering the game, being down there near the dugout, just watching the guys around him.
I remember that
he's a leader
against Georgia, and somebody launched one and kind of. I mean, it wasn't too egregious. A little bad flip, and maybe a little bit of a trot, and Stark got in his face, said, you better go ahead and take your little trot right now, or we're going to have words.
Yeah, and the Illinois game as well. That was one where
he got feisty.
He had an exchange with the Illinois catcher who was coming up to bat. And so, I mean,
I get the feeling Tony likes that. He's like, I need a little bit of conflict in the lineup. I don't know if it's the Italian in him coming out or anything like that. But I get the feeling he wants, and Simo and Burke are great players. They're having great seasons, but they're kind of laid back, lead by example. And I think Tony misses the Drew Gilbert fire, like, hey, man, let's throw down out here. We're not here to make friends.
And there's a cost to it, and Tony has mentioned that. Yeah. He's actually mentioned how years ago he may not have welcomed having a fiery guy like a Gilbert and flashy guy. But seeing how it played out, he's like, if you're going to get that kind of production and some benefits for some other folks around you on your team, then, there's a little bit of cost to it that – yeah, it's kind of worth it to have that type of guy.
All right, very exciting. All right, I think Bear has calmed down. He's come back in.
Never calm.
He looks relatively docile for Bear. We're going to give away his standing room only tickets for tonight. You want to go to the game tonight? We've got a trivia question. Before we give that out, get your dialing fingers ready, and I'll give the number out because we have a new number. Do you realize that we had what I assume is a first in talk radio history? Earlier this week, we changed the phone number in the middle of the show.
Wow.
We came on the air.
I did not know that.
We came on the air. Our number was 966-3435, and then about halfway through the show, it became 865-288-3131. So that's the number. Go ahead and lock it in your phone right now, and don't dial until – this is like Jeopardy. You can't answer the question until the question's been completed. 865-288-3131. Before we give those tickets away, Logan, Crumble Cookies with three locations throughout East Tennessee. You were at the Callahan location earlier today. Yep. What is in that beautiful pink box?
Well, I tell you what, Blake Burke is the home run king for right now for the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
The home run hitter for Crumble Cookies is in that box.
Ooh.
It's the monster cookie.
The monster cookie?
Yep.
Describe for me the monster cookie at Crumble Cookies.
M&M pieces.
Ooh.
Peanut butter chunks.
Ah.
Semi-sweet chocolate chunks.
Oh. You think there's any of that left?
I've not been keeping a close eye on this guy with the Evil Empire hat on, but I think so.
Right.
I think so. That's the go-to for this week. I mean, they've got an outstanding rotation every week. Their week's rotation you can always count on. They have a cinnamon scone this week. That's one I'm going to hit up. But it's the monster cookie for me, man. It's my favorite. It's goated. It's number one. So tough to beat.
Outstanding. Three locations on Clinton Highway.
Yep.
In Maryville, in Turkey Creek, Parkside Drive. Crumble Cookies. Go in there. Get yourself something sweet for the weekend, and be sure to tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. All right. Let's give away Bears tickets to the ball game. Logan, what's the trivia question you came up with?
So we didn't want to make it extremely hard on you guys. This is something that's trickled out throughout the week. If you've been on social media quite a bit, Blake Burke is on a rapid pace, not just for the home runs, but for doubles. He's at 19. He's on pace for about right at 34, 35. The program record is 30. The Vols program record is 30. Who holds that record for Tennessee baseball?
So Blake Burke on pace to break the single season doubles record.
Yep.
Who holds the record?
Yep.
865-288-3131. The first caller with the correct answer is going to win a pair of SRO. This is a hot ticket. You might not have a seat. But Bear has been kind enough to donate these tickets to the caller who can correctly answer this trivia question. 865-288-3131. We'll find out who the winner is. We'll get them on air and let them answer the question when we continue live this afternoon at Volunteer Auto Group on Callahan Drive, just up the street from the Clinton Highway. Crumble Cookies, back with more right after this.
The Drive. Miss any of your favorite Fan Run show? Listen to the podcast on our free Fan Run radio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust.
Radio, Russell Bear and Logan Quinton cruising with you at Volunteer Auto Group. We've got Houston and Tucker back at the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Logan Quinton, Houston, what did you learn?
That he loves Stamos.
Yeah.
He's been beating the drum for months. His man's going to get a chance tonight against what we thought would be a top 10 LSU Tiger team, and he feels pretty good. Also, he kind of hinted there was a little bit of hope that with the rostering of Billy Amick, he'd be able to get out there at some point this weekend, but it seems like Amick is just a little bit out still, which I have no problem with. If he's not 100%, man, don't risk it. Don't put him out there. Same thing with Russell. Just let's be as healthy as we can be as late into the season as possible.
I'm sorry, Houston. I'm just not used to somebody answering that
question. Shut up. And why are you trying to make me look bad, Chris?
Huh? Easy. Whoa. We had made such progress with you. All right. So a couple of things here before we get to the phones. I don't know if people just have other plans or if the trivia question was just too hard. I mean, it might be. I wouldn't know the question. But we have a trivia question with a pair of tickets to tonight's game between Tennessee and LSU. Standing room only tickets, but they will get you in the sold out house tonight at Lindsey Nelson, where Kim Caldwell is throwing out the first pitch.
That'll get the guys in there.
Who holds the season record for most doubles in a season?
Vols.
Tennessee baseball program. History. Yep. Yeah, in the program. It's going to be most likely Blake Burke after this season, but whose record is he chasing? So if you've got the answer to that, 865-288-3131 is your phone number, 288-3131. And you know what, Bear?
What?
Since you won't go to the game tonight, you don't want to stand up.
All right, I can't.
I want you to go to the game.
Okay.
I want you to have this experience.
All right.
I have an extra ticket. Would you be my guest tonight? Will you be my date at Tony Vitello's Homer House tonight, Bear? What do you think? You come down to the ballpark with your old boy, Pet Dubsy? We sit out underneath the sun and the stars and drink beer like men do?
I mean, the weather doesn't look very good right now, Russ.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have got to be kidding me.
Will you?
You are such a liar.
Will you drop me off in front of the stadium?
Oh.
Yeah, you can't walk that far.
It's across the street. We're going to park in the parking garage. It's across the street.
There could be traffic.
It's 100 feet.
You're underestimating how...
I'm underestimating your ability to come up with lame excuses on the fly right now is what I'm underestimating.
Let me think about it. I got to make some
calls. Let you think about it.
I got to see if I can get
out of
something. Because
you're so
busy. Well, yeah.
You have nothing to do.
That's you don't know that.
I am offering you
a... You don't know that.
I am offering you a chair back seat.
Chair back. No
yes.
Standing.
Yes, I'm offering you to
we got
go
a shot
with
at
me.
Tony?
Next to me?
Well,
probably not. But
I mean, if you'd said Logan, I'd have jumped all over it. But yeah, why not? Let's go, Russ.
Are you serious? You're going?
Yeah, I'll go.
You're going.
Yeah.
You're not going to make some lame excuse as soon as 6 p.m. rolls around. You're not going to run out and say, oh, Russ, I can't go. I got a thing. Bye.
I'll see you Monday, 3 o'clock on the drive. No, I won't do that, man.
You do you have tickets, right, Russ? Like you're not doing the what Bear did?
He's going to drive. Yeah. What
yes,
I'll do is
I actually
drop
have
me off
tickets.
Out front, and then he'll walk in without me.
I'm inviting you to the game, Bear, and I actually have a ticket for you. Have you heard this story, Logan? Oh, my God.
Why you got to tell everybody?
it was Georgia Sunday. Mm-hmm. We wake up after we've beaten Creighton
Saturday.
In the Sweet 16.
It was Saturday.
We wake up. We're all on cloud nine. We wake up to a text from Bear. He's gotten up super early. He says, hey, guys, to me in Houston.
It's a beautiful day.
You guys want to go to the game today? Tennessee, Georgia tonight? And I'm like, hell yeah. Like Bear scored some tickets. Let's go, man. I'm getting fired up. I tell my wife. I was like, I'm going to the game tonight. I won't be around everything. And like 2 minutes after I send that text, you know anybody who's got tickets?
He always gets all the tickets.
Oh, wow.
You just proved that this week.
Wow.
Suck up to the callers and tell them they're smart, even when they've got crazy takes
and they shower you with presents. Dude, I just invited you to go to the game. I'm giving
and
you
I
a
said,
ticket
yeah.
that I could probably sell. It's been given to me, but I could probably turn around and sell it for $300. I'm giving that to you.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I'll go. I'll use it. If it starts raining, we're leaving.
And I'm inviting you to the game. I've actually got tickets.
That's cool.
It is cool.
Did you ask Houston first?
No. I'm asking you live on the air. Nobody knows I'm doing this. I've actually been planning it all week long. Just because I know how awkward and uncomfortable it'll make it for you.
Well, you know I don't like crowds. I really don't like crowds. Is there a chance we could meet Tony?
He's probably going to be pretty busy.
Just a wave, then.
You can wave at him.
Go, Tony!
Let's get Joshy Boy in here. He's been hanging on forever. We are coming up snake eyes on our trivia question here. We might have to just do the old 10th caller thing. Our audience doesn't know their Tennessee baseball history. Nobody's got access to... Is that something you could Google?
You can find it fairly quickly. Ironically, the SEC record... is held by an LSU guy, Brad Hawk, and that's 36, I believe.
36
so
doubles.
So
he could get that,
that.
Yeah.
So.
And you can get a couple tonight. Joshy Boy, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
How are you doing on this beautiful Friday?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. So, Bear, I think you should take Russell's offer, and I think you should go to your first UT game tonight.
Wait, first, it's my first under the Vitello era. I haven't been in the stadium a long time. I think Delmonico was the coach.
Oh, it's gonna be packed tonight. They're gonna be singing.
Do you still
Rocky
just
Top.
Sit out there on the concrete? Do y'all remember that?
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's chairs.
There were no
there's
seats.
It's a plastic concrete.
The way it is now.
It's a
what?
Plastic seat. There's like a, it's like a big black plastic seat you're gonna be sitting in. Have you not watched the games on television?
Yeah,
you think
people
are sitting on concrete?
That's how it used to be.
They got concessions and everything.
They're restrooms.
Yeah. It looks civilized.
When the sun goes down, they'll turn on lights so you can still see. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
You know, don't give me comments from the cheap seats, Chris.
they got food trucks outside the stadium.
Love me a good food truck. I haven't seen that this year. Are they planning that tonight?
This is the first time I've gone this year.
I think it may be this weekend, yeah.
I would think so with all the festivities going on this weekend.
So, Logan, my question for you is, A.J. Russell started throwing this week. When do you think we can expect him back in the rotation?
You know, that's a good question. And as far as the rotation, if you mean, you know, the weekend rotation, the starting rotation, I'm not sure that's in the cards for him. I'm more about him coming back and being coming out of the pen, being a closer, being a stopper. That way you can start him off at a 20 to 30 pitch count for the first time or two, see how that goes. But I mean, if he comes back, let's say next weekend, there's plenty of time for him to ramp up. And if you need that starter role or whatever, by the time tournament time is close, then go for it. But when Hoover comes around and you're looking at regionals and super regionals and ultimately Omaha, the starter thing's out the window. It's kind of mix and match who you got on deck. And Tony has talked about how he wants this team to have that type of identity. Even a guy like Drew Beam is like, yeah, you're our lead horse, but like, we want all our guys to be able to be used in multiple scenarios. So for AJ, I think it's taking it ultra conservative. And, you know, if they want him to open up a game, throw two or three innings or something like that, you know, that's fine. But being a starter that you can count on to go five or six innings, I'm not sure he gets to that point in the regular season.
Yeah, another question I wanted to ask you. With Tennessee's pitching being shaky a little bit this season, do you think their offense can give them enough and carry them to Omaha in the postseason?
Yeah, I do. I do. And this, you know, preseason, when I looked at this lineup, it was surprisingly – deep, and I thought, man, there's a lot of options here. So if a couple of guys don't work out, there's a couple more behind that could step up, but they're all producing. I mean, we mentioned Antigua earlier with his struggles, but he's a guy you don't have to rely on. He's a guy that was a starter coming in, presumably coming into the season, but the freshman Dean Curley has produced, Bargo has produced to help fill voids on that left side of the infield. Yeah, it's deep. It's deep, man. I can't think of a college lineup in recent memory, the quality of depth and the firepower. I can't think of one. Because it's not 1 through 9. It's like 1 through 13 that you have to worry about. And this is the type of offense that can carry a team to Omaha, especially when you have – yeah, the pitching may have their struggles, but at the end of the day, they're still a top 5 pitching group right now. If they can just – buy their time and a guy, I really think a guy or two can emerge from this pitching staff. Maybe it's Stamos tonight. We saw Sechrist have that outing against Georgia. You know, those things can happen. You can get those quality performances out of guys that you're not used to seeing or you haven't seen yet. The guys are too good and too talented on this pitching staff for it not to happen. So if you can just be good, be solid on the pitching side of things, this offense is by far able to carry this team.
Hey, Joshy boy, we got to run, man. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Have yourself a great weekend. Hour number 3 of the drive coming up. Logan, we appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Bear, behave
yourself. Bear going to Lindsey Nelson. Good gracious. What could possibly go wrong? Don't answer that. Hour number 3 of the drive coming up.
The Drive. The first annual Fan Run Open is Saturday, April 20th at Williams Creek Par 3 course. Proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of East Tennessee, Care Cuts, and Emerald Youth Sports. Sign up and compete with your team of 3 to 4 for the Fan Run Trophy or in our individual competitions, or hit it big by winning one of our door prizes. Hang out with the Fan Run crew and support our local community.